Thanks, Andrew. Good to be with you.
Good to have you this morning. So we had really big news this week. One was the unveiling of the ShotSpotter technology and the heat maps that indicate the zones that you all are going to be using this in. How? I mean, just give me a sense of around the department. How excited are your officers about being able to get this technology and the app on their phone and all the stuff that goes along with it?
Yeah, I think anything that we can do, you know, to increase the safety of the officers and the safety of the public at the same time is a win, you know, for the community and for our officers. And with that technology, they'll, you know, traditionally you have to wait for a call to come in unless an officer is nearby and, you know, actually hears or sees something. And, you know, sometimes those calls may come or they may not come. They may not know exactly what they heard or if it was even gunfire. And this technology really takes the guesswork out of it. It identifies that it is a gunshot, you know, and puts you, you know, nearly on the spot of where the shooting occurs. So just the time that it's going to, you know, take out of being able to respond to those kinds of calls is immeasurable. So we're excited to have that coming online.
And that's going to also integrate with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, the Real-Time Crime Center, right? So this is another example to me of the city and the county. And, of course, there's a lot of cross-pollination with personnel we know as well historically. But it seems like y'all are working even more all the time as almost a joint law enforcement cooperative.
Yeah, it's, you know, the bad guys don't look at the signs to see where the city limits stop and end.
Right.
You know, they cross over and, you know, from the sheriff's office jurisdiction into our jurisdiction and vice versa. So, you know, it's important that we, you know, have those good working relationships with the sheriff and, you know, the sheriff and chief deputy both come from the city. So we've, you know, obviously have that, you know, great relationship with them from the start. And we're going to continue to build on that relationship because it's a win for the entire community, for, you know, their law enforcement agencies to be working hand in hand together and sharing information and working to solve those issues.
You know, when I was listening to Alex Andrade talk about this the other day, you know, sometimes it takes a layman to see the slice of solving the problem that I hadn't even realized before, but it hadn't even occurred to me the problem of, you know, you go to the resident who called 911 as opposed to the site of the shot under the normal circumstances, this sends you to the site of the shot. But also, when you're en route, you don't know where there might be danger or might not be danger. But if you know where the shot came from and you know how long ago that happened, you can take account of that in how you drive, where you go, what you're looking for on the way, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can take that information that's come in from the shot spotter and first of all, know right where you're going to the source of the gunshots. And then you can, you know, work your response in from that, you know, for safety reasons and to try to, you know, intercept any bad guys who are trying to leave the area. So it's, you know, it's really, really going to be good and beneficial, I think, you know, all around.
The other thing that we saw you quite a bit for this week was at the press conference. You were there to introduce us to a couple of the newly most popular PPD officers, right?
Yeah, we introduced four of our brand new officers who were, you know, clearly much better looking and more popular than most of us, and for good reason. We've got four new canines online. They've been on the street actually for a couple weeks, but this was our, you know, first opportunity to get, you know, get them out and introduce them to the public. So we're excited to have them on board. They've all completed their, it's almost 500 hours of training that the dogs and their handlers go through in order to become certified canines in the state of Florida. So we're happy to have them out, and they're out on the streets. So if you see them out there, you know, make sure it's okay with their human partner first, but feel free to, you know, ask to give them a pat on the head, because those dogs work hard. They're a valuable tool for law enforcement, and we're glad to have them out on the streets with us.
Oh, see, I, you know, I would never ask that, because I would always be like, okay, I know what that dog does for a living, you know, and I don't need to cause any problems. But as long as you ask first is the key, right?
Yeah, just make sure, you know, you talk to the handler and ask the handler, don't approach the dog in the car or anything when it's, you know, in the car itself. That's his office space. That's where he's working. So yeah, anytime you see him out with the dog, you know, if they're, you know, just kind of hanging out on a break or something, they're happy to introduce you to the dogs, let you get a picture and give the dog a well-earned pat on the head.
So how many canines does this put on the street for us? Like, what's our current total? And I know that number is kind of sort of constantly in flux because dogs retire, dogs come on, but, you know, what's the number at right now?
Right now, we have a total of six canines.
And is that full, like what you're intending to have all the time, six? Plus one at the airport, right, for bomb sniffing, is that right?
Yeah, that includes, we've got the bomb-trained dog at the airport. We've got an electronics canine.
Oh, that's right.
And the four canines that we just rolled out.
And they do, I mean, I've seen some of the demos, but they do amazing stuff. Like, you know, they can track you across concrete. Like, it's crazy some of the stuff that they can do. And they serve for what, like 2 years, 3 years, and then they have to retire because of the stress? And, of course, you know, Malinois and Shepherds kind of have that, you know, they don't live forever, you know, and they work hard, right?
Yeah, it's a high-demand job. We generally expect to get about 5 years worth of work service out of the dog. And that's, you know, and I'm a former canine handler myself, so that's usually a good number. And we're constantly evaluating that because we don't want to put, you know, undue physical strain on the dog and you know, work the dog into the ground. So we're always paying attention to the dogs and their health, and that's a priority for us. And if a dog needs to retire a year earlier for his health so that he can just kind of go home and be a dog after he's put in, you know, some hard work, then, you know, we're 100% fine with that. But you know, it's usually about 5 years.
Okay.
The dogs would work. They usually come online when they're about a year old to 2 years old generally. So we usually work until they're about 6-7 years old. And that kind of seems to be a good number where they can still have a good quality of life after they serve their community.
Outstanding. Just a quick question is, I know we got new dogs coming on. Are any of the handlers first-time canine handlers?
Actually, yes. At least one of them is. At least two. Two or three of them are new handlers. Sometimes, you know, it's a commitment for that handler, you know, with the dog. We talked about the dog is usually in service for about 5 years. And
yeah,
that's a 5-year commitment for the handler. And sometimes you want to move on, you know, to something else in the department or, you know, working toward promotions or, you know, want to go to the detective, you know, division, or you want to go, you know, work in narcotics and those kind of things. So it, you know, it's really kind of handler preference, and you know, some people, they find that's their niche and they love it. I love my time in it. I just wanted to do other things, but you know, some of our handlers, they get that niche and they'll work, you know, two or three dogs in their career. So it's really just kind of personal preference on kind of what the handler wants to do, you know, career wise, and move down, you know, whatever path they want to work down.
You guys were shooting some video last week, I think for recruitment. Is that right? At a couple of locations, and kind of put out this note like, hey, if you see us around and about, it's just filming. It's just a movie, right?
Yeah. If you see the SWAT team and the dogs, you know, working around, we just wanted to make sure, you know, obviously when, you know, you see, you know, 5-6 police cars in a spot, people start to ask what's going on. So we just wanted to make sure that the public was informed, you know, that everything was safe. We were just, it was time for us to update our recruiting video, get some new film on tape there, and work toward, you know, as we are every day, trying to get, you know, good quality people into this department. So, you know, we'll be rolling that out soon. We're excited, you know, for what that video is going to look like, and should be rolling out soon, hopefully.
Outstanding. Last thing I have for you, Chief, is, and I don't know the answer, that's why I ask, but obviously we're coming up to the 4th of July fireworks show, the biggest show on the Gulf Coast. It's a great deal, puts on every year. We're involved in that, of course, Cat Country and Sertoma. But my question is, in the past, we've had conversations about the new 3-mile bridge and the pedestrian walkway and the possibility that maybe people could watch fireworks from the pedestrian walkway. Do you know if that's going to be possible, or is it going to be closed? Is there any early guidance on that? Because if people can, we want to tell them they can. And if they can't, we want to tell them they can't.
Yeah, I have not heard specifically yet what it's going to be for the new bridge, but we'll definitely get that, get with DOT, FDOT, and find out how they're going to want to operate the bridge during that time, and definitely get that pushed out to the public.
Yeah, it's a good new problem to have, so to speak, because, you know, in the past, obviously, there was no way for pedestrians to be out there, but now with the possibility, that's why I was curious about it. So, outstanding. Kevin Christman, he is the deputy chief for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Kevin, thanks so much for being available on short notice this morning, man. I really appreciate it, and thanks so much for what you do to help our community be safer. We appreciate that tremendously.
Absolutely, Andrew. Y'all have a great day.